If you have your Bible with you, we're turning to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. It's encouraging to see so many here this evening. And we would exhort you to keep coming out night by night and endeavour to bring others in under the sound of the gospel, especially the unsaved. Bring your friends and your family and at least endeavour to get them in. And we do pray that as you do so, that the Lord will speak to their hearts and bring them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We appreciate your prayers, and we'd ask you to continue to pray for us as we would come night by night to preach the gospel of Christ. Now, we just want to read a few verses from Acts chapter 9. We're going to commence our reading at verse 1, and we're going to read down to verse 6. Acts chapter 9 and verse 6. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Amen. We'll end our reading there. We know the Lord will bless the reading of His word to our hearts this evening. Let's just bow in a wee word of prayer and ask the Lord for His help as we come to consider God's truth tonight. Father in heaven, we thank Thee and we praise Thee this evening for the message of the gospel. We thank Thee, Lord, that it's still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And oh God, we pray for those in this meeting tonight who are strangers to grace and to God, that you would show them their need of Christ and save them this evening. Oh God, as you stopped Saul of Tarsus in his tracks many, many years ago, as you spoke to him and reached down and plucked them as a brand from the burning, we pray, Lord, tonight that you would stop sinners on their mad career to hell. And oh God, that you would reach down and pluck them as brands from the burning. We thank the Lord that you're still in the soul-saving business. And we pray tonight that you'd come and speak to hearts. We pray, Lord, in this gospel mission that the tide will rise. And we pray, O God, that you'd be pleased to work in hearts in the meetings and outside of the meetings. Dear God, that we might know in a very special way the presence of the Lord with us as we meet here night by night. Lord, help us. We need Thee, Lord, and we cast ourselves upon Thee. We just pray this evening, Lord, that You would come and fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit. And to Thee, Lord, we will give the praise, the glory, and every bit of the honour. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Very simply tonight, I want to preach on the subject, the mercy of God towards Saul of Tarsus. The word mercy means kindness or compassion. And the Bible tells us that the Lord is a merciful God. In Exodus 34 verse 6 we read that the Lord is merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and in truth. And in Psalm 86 verse 15 the psalmist said, But Thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. You know, throughout the Bible, there are many examples of God showing His mercy towards sinners. And here in Acts chapter 9, we have one of the greatest examples of God showing His mercy towards the sinner in the Bible. Indeed, we have here God reaching down and showing His mercy towards a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus. Now, Saul of Tarsus did not deserve mercy. Saul was a gospel hater and a man who despised Christ and his cause. And yet in this chapter we see the mercy of God towards Saul being demonstrated in a most gracious way. I'm sure that many of you are familiar with this incident here. In this chapter we see Saul marching forward against Christ and his cause. Indeed, the reason he was going to Damascus was in order to arrest the Christians, bring them back to Jerusalem to imprison them. So this man was not thinking of salvation. This man was not thinking of coming and putting his faith and trust in Christ. And yet, before he got to Damascus, the Lord came and the Lord reached down and the Lord had mercy upon his soul. My friend, I don't know you tonight. I don't know what your background is. But I know this. Although you're not saved, although you're not born again of the Spirit of God, although you may be living in rebellion against God and against the Word of God and against the Gospel of Christ, the Lord tonight wants to show mercy towards you. Why? Because He's a merciful Savior. He's a merciful God. And I pray tonight at the opening service of this Gospel mission that the Lord will come and that the Lord this evening will draw you unto yourself, and that the Lord would reveal unto you your great need of God's salvation, because you have a great need tonight. Your need is to be born again of the Spirit of God and saved by the grace of God. Now, as we come to deal with this subject tonight, I want us to consider this question. How did the Lord show mercy towards Saul of Tarsus? And as we come to look at this question and answer it, deal with this subject this evening, there's a number of things I want you to notice. And if you're not saved, I want you to listen very carefully to God's word tonight. First of all, I want you to notice here that God showed his mercy towards Saul of Tarsus when he spoke to him. If you take a look there at verse 3 and 4, you'll read these words. And as he journeyed, that was Saul, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul. Here we have Saul heading towards Damascus, and all of a sudden he hears this voice speaking to him. Now, it was the voice of God that Saul heard that day as he made his journey to Damascus. The voice that Saul heard was the voice of the Lord. Now, I don't know whether you've ever studied the Bible or not. I'm sure that many of you have. But if you're not saved, perhaps you haven't studied it very much, if at all. But you know, it is an evident mark of God's judgment upon man when God stops speaking to man. We have a wonderful example of this in Luke chapter 23 when Christ was sent to Herod. And it is interesting to note in that portion of Scripture, and we're not going to take the time to read the verse, but you can read it when you go home in verses 8 and 9 of that chapter, that when the Lord Jesus Christ came face to face with Herod, the Lord Jesus never spoke to Herod. Indeed, Christ refused to speak to Herod. Now, Herod, of course, was the man that executed John the Baptist. And I believe the moment Herod executed John the Baptist, who was the servant of Christ, the Lord at that point stopped speaking to Herod. Stopped speaking to him. Therefore, when the Lord Jesus Christ came face to face with this man, the Lord wasn't speaking to him anymore. And it was a mark of God's judgment upon Herod. You see, when Herod executed John the Baptist, he had sealed his destiny for eternity. God's mercy would never be shown towards him again. Therefore, when the Lord spoke to Saul on the Damascus road, it was a mark of God's mercy towards him. It meant that God had not given up on Saul of Tarsus. It meant that Saul had not gone beyond the pale. My friend, I wonder, is the Lord speaking to you? Has the Lord spoken to you in recent days? Perhaps as you've come into the meeting tonight, the Lord has spoken to you. Through His Word, He's speaking to you. And as you've sat under the sound of God's Word, and I'm sure this is not the first time that you've sat under the sound of God's Word, you've heard that still small voice of the Lord speaking to you. That's a mercy. That's the mercy of God towards you. And although at this point in your life you want nothing to do with the gospel, although at this point in your life you're not a Christian, indeed, you want nothing to do with God's eternal redemption, and yet the Lord is coming tonight, and He's speaking to you, and He's striving with you. And even this night, He is calling you unto Himself. What a mercy that is. What a mercy that is. You know, the Bible says, indeed the Lord says, My spirit shall not always strive with man. And there comes a time when God stops speaking to sinners. There comes a time when the sinner does not hear the voice of God anymore. Indeed, the hymn writer penned it well when he wrote those words. There comes a time we know not when, a place we know not where, that seals the destiny of men for glory or despair. There is a line unseen of men that crosses every path, the hidden boundary between God's mercy and God's wrath. Therefore, if you're in this meeting tonight, and you're under conviction of sin, and the Lord is speaking to you, you ought to thank God that His voice is clearly heard in your heart and in your conscience. Now, I want you to notice here that when God spoke to Saul, He first of all rebuked Saul's sin. Now, did you notice that? Take a look at verse 4, and you'll see here exactly what the Lord said to Saul. He said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? You see, Saul had sinned greatly. He had persecuted the people of God. He had gone out of his way to destroy the Christian faith. We can see that in verse 1. Look at it, verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Here was a man, and he hated Christianity, and he hated everything to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. However, the Lord here, as He spoke to Saul of Tarsus, revealed unto Saul that in the midst of all this sinning, it was the Lord that he was sinning against. Because the Lord says here, Why persecutest thou me? My friend, the truth is this, that when you sin against the Lord. When you sin against the God of heaven. Why did the Lord rebuke Saul's sin? Because He wanted Saul to turn away from his sin. God in His mercy spoke to Saul about his sin because He wanted him to repent of his sin. That's the reason why the Lord spoke to Saul. Because the Lord wanted Saul to turn away from his sin. And my friend, that's what the Lord wants you to do tonight. The Lord would speak to you and reveal unto you that you're a sinner. And of course the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible tells us that from the sole of our feet to the crown of our heads, there's no goodness in us but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. And the Lord wants us to know tonight that we are sinners, that we have broken His law, that we have disobeyed His commandments. Because, friend, until you realize that you're a sinner, you will never be saved, and you will never receive God's forgiveness and God's cleansing. And here we have the Lord coming in mercy. He's speaking to Saul of Tarsus, and the first thing that He does is to reveal unto this man that he's a sinner, and that he has sinned against God. But notice something else here. Notice that when the Lord spoke to Saul of Tarsus, that the Lord revealed Himself as Savior. Now, did you notice that in verse 5? Look what it says in verse 5. And He said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus. Now, just stop there and think about that for a moment. You know, this phrase, literally means, I am the Saviour. Because the name Jesus, of course, means Saviour. The Lord in mercy, therefore, as he spoke to Saul, revealed unto him the reason for Christ coming into the world. He came to be the Saviour. I am Jesus. I am the Saviour. What a revelation Saul of Tarsus received that day. Not only did the Lord reveal unto him that he was a sinner, but the Lord revealed unto him that he was the Saviour, that Christ was the Saviour. I am Jesus. I am the Saviour. My friend, listen to me this evening. Is the Lord speaking to you? If he is, it's a mercy. Has he rebuked your sin? If he has, it's a mercy. Has he revealed unto you that he is Jesus the Saviour? If he has, praise God, it is a mercy. And thank God when the Lord speaks to sinners through his word. And of course the Lord still speaks to men and women today through the word of God as the preacher preaches the gospel of Christ. And of course the Lord also can speak through our circumstances. I wonder, is the Lord speaking to you tonight? And as you've come into this meeting, for whatever reason, maybe you're here because someone has invited you. Maybe you're here because you come every Sunday night. Maybe you're here just out of curiosity. But the Lord has brought you here to speak to you. And the Lord is speaking to you. And as he speaks, he will reveal to you that you're a sinner. And he will reveal to you the consequences of that sin. Because the Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. But also he will reveal to you that he is Jesus, the Saviour. And thank God the Bible says concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It was Christ who said himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I wonder, as you sit under the sound of the gospel tonight, is the Lord speaking to your heart? My friend, it's a mercy. It's the mercy of God that you're here tonight. It's the mercy of God that you're in this mission tonight. It's the mercy of God in that he's still speaking to you. But I want you to notice something else here. Turn back to Acts chapter 9. Because I want you to notice, secondly, that God showed his mercy towards Saul of Tarsus in that he smote him. Not only did he speak to him, but he smote him. Now, the word smote, or the word smite, it means to strike down with force. It means to have a powerful effect upon. And when Saul came face to face with Christ, I want you to look and see what happened. Look, for example, in verse 4. It says here, he fell to the earth. Did you notice that? And then look at verse 6. It says, and he trembling. When the Lord smote Saul, he fell to the earth trembling. That's what the Bible tells us here. Now this trembling was conviction. It was fear. It was guilt of sin. It was awareness of God. Here we have Saul, the sinner, in the presence of God, being rebuked for his sin by God, knowing now the consequences of his sin. Is it any wonder he trembled? Is it any wonder that he fell to the ground in fear? In mercy, the Lord smote him. You know, men and women, conviction, while it is not conversion, it is a mercy from God. To feel the sense of one's sin is the first step towards conversion. Indeed, you can't be converted. You can't be saved without conviction. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit that brings conviction upon the sinner's heart. I can remember before I was saved, and I was saved when I was 13 years of age. I can remember many weeks before I was saved, many months before I was saved, having a concern for my soul. I was afraid of going to hell. I knew my sin was bringing me down to hell. And I was afraid of going to bed at night and sleeping, in case I would go to sleep and die in the middle of the night and waken up in a Christless eternity. What was happening now? At the time, I didn't know what was happening to me. But I know now. It was guilt. It was conviction. It was God smiting me, showing me that I needed to be saved, and showing me that I was a sinner of the deepest dye. And my friend, if the Lord is smiting you tonight, in other words, if you feel the deep guilt of your sin and your soul is trembling as you think of meeting God unprepared, it is God being merciful to you. God's being merciful to you. You know, before the Philippian jailer made his peace with God, the Bible tells us that he came under conviction of sin. In other words, God smote him. And in Acts 16 verse 29, it says that he called for a light, and he came trembling. And the psalmist said in Psalm 38 verse 4, when God smote him and convicted him about his sin, "For mine iniquities are gone over my head, as an heavy burden, they are too heavy for me." And in Acts 2 verse 37, when Peter rebuked the Jews for their sin, the Bible says, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Now let me ask you a question tonight, and I want you to answer it honestly within your own heart and soul. Have you ever been pricked in your heart concerning your sin? Have you ever felt the guilt of your sin? That's the Lord speaking to you. That's the Holy Spirit striving with you. Conviction of sin will bring unrest. It will bring a burden of soul. It will bring misery to the heart of man. It will bring terror and great sense of fear of meeting God unprepared. And this conviction, this smiting, is a mercy of God to the sinner, because by it God wants to bring the sinner unto repentance. My friend, you cannot be brought unto repentance without conviction and without God dealing with your heart. And that's what we are praying for in this mission as it continues night by night. We're praying that the tide will rise, that God will deal with hearts, that God will show men their great need of salvation. And the truth is this, a sinner could walk in through those doors with no concern on their heart at all concerning salvation and concerning eternity, and they could go out redeemed and saved by the grace of God, a changed man. Here is an individual, Saul of Tarsus. And as he began his journey on the Damascus Road, he had no thought about conversion. He had no thought and fear of God whatsoever. Listen, he was going to arrest the Christians in Damascus and bring them back to imprison them. And yet all of a sudden, the Lord shows his mercy towards him. And the Lord speaks to him, reveals unto him his sin, reveals unto him that he, Jesus, is the Savior, and that Saul needs the Savior, and then smites him and brings him under conviction of sin. And Saul feels the guilt of his sin, and he knows at that very point that his sin is bringing him down into the lost eternity. Oh, my friend, I pray tonight that the Lord will so take a dealing with your heart and your soul that you will, like the jailer, cry out, "What must I do to be saved?" That example of the jailer that I give is a perfect example of the Lord stepping into someone's life. The jailer at the beginning in Acts 16, he didn't want anything to do with the gospel. Indeed, he manhandled Paul and Silas. He whipped them. He cast them into the inner prison. He put their feet fast in the stocks. He had no thought of God. And then all of a sudden the Lord began to work in his heart. And the truth is this, that in order for you to be saved, you need something more than the preacher standing up preaching. You need something more than God's people praying. Now you need the preacher, because the Bible tells us that God has so ordained that through the foolishness of preaching that men are saved. And you need the prayers of God's people, but you need something more. You need God the Holy Ghost to take a dealing with your heart and with your soul. Because until the third person of the Holy Trinity speaks to you and strives in your heart and convicts you of your sin, then you'll never be saved. Is God showing his mercy towards you tonight? Is he speaking to you? Are you feeling the sense of your sin? Is he smiting you? in your own heart and soul. Oh, my friend, if he is, that's the mercy of God. That's the mercy of God. Now, there's something else. Take a look at the text again, because you'll notice, thirdly, here that God showed his mercy towards Saul of Tarsus when he saved him. Not only did he speak to him, not only did he smite him, but he saved him. I believe we can pinpoint Saul's conversion to verse 6. I believe that was the moment of his salvation. That was the moment when Saul repented of his sin and by faith believed on Christ as Savior and Lord. Because from this time on, Paul's life was changed. Look what it says in verse 6. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? The place of conversion is very interesting when you read it and study it in the Bible. Saul was saved on the Damascus Road. The Philippian jailer was saved in a prison house in Philippi. Lydia was saved outside the city of Philippi. It was a Sabbath day. It was by the riverside. The place of conversion. But did you ever consider the precise moment of conversion? Here we see Saul of Tarsus coming to Christ, and we can pinpoint his conversion to verse 6. God's salvation in Paul's life made him a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things pass away and all things became new. Do you ever consider the great change that God's salvation brought about in the life of Saul of Tarsus? He was willing to obey the Lord, because he says in verse 6, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Up until this point, he was obeying nobody but himself. He openly confessed the Lord in verse 18. Look at verse 18. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and rose and was baptized. There, Paul is being baptized. What is baptism? An outward showing of an inward faith. And there, Paul is declaring to the world that he's a follower of Christ. His life has been changed. Also, if you look at verse 20, he went forth to serve the Lord. Because we read in verse 20, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. So when he got to Damascus, instead of arresting the Christians, he preached that Christ was the Son of God. And in verse 11, he had a desire to pray to the Lord. These are all evidences when a man is saved. When a man is truly converted, the Lord showed his mercy towards Saul of Tarsus in that he saved him. He plucked him as a brand from the burning. Men and women, there's no greater mercy that God can show towards a sinner than the mercy of his salvation. And that's what the Lord wants to impart to you this evening. He wants to give unto you eternal life. He wants to save you. That's why he speaks to you. That's why he smites you. That's why he convicts you. That's why he reveals unto you that you're a sinner. That's why he reveals unto you that he is Jesus, the Savior. Because he wants to reach down and he wants to cleanse you from your sin and save you for time and for eternity. And you need to be saved tonight. Because the Bible says, now is the accepted time, behold, now is the day of salvation. How sad it is to hear of men dying and going out into a lost eternity. My friend, when you die without Christ, you die without mercy. When you die without Christ, you die without grace. When you die without Christ, you die without hope. Because you have rejected the Son of God as your own and personal Redeemer. Here we have Saul. And he says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What wilt thou have me to do? What does the Lord want you to do tonight? Very simply, he wants you to repent of your sin. By faith, accept Christ as your Savior. To trust the Lord. Only trust him. Only trust him. Only trust him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now, this very moment. You may have come into the meeting in your sin, on your way to hell, knowing nothing of God's grace in your life. My friend, you can leave this place
on your way to heaven, knowing that you have a home in heaven, knowing that your sins are forgiven, knowing that you're a child of God. Just fall down before Him and ask Him to save you. The night I was saved, I couldn't have quoted you two verses out of the Bible. But friend, I knew I was a sinner. I knew I was going to hell. I knew that only the Lord Jesus could save me. And in childlike faith, kneeling at a pew just like that, I cried unto God for mercy. I said, "Oh God, be merciful to me, the sinner." And He was. And He saved me. And friend, He'll do the same for you. He wants to show His mercy towards you. Indeed, He has been showing His mercy towards you. Because He's speaking to you. And He's smiting you. And He's convicting you. And He's showing you your need. And tonight He wants to save you. Would you come to Him? Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee and we praise Thee for Your presence with us tonight. We thank Thee, Lord, for this conversion that we have here in Acts chapter 9. What a tremendous conversion it is. What mercy You showed towards this ungodly man, the chief of sinners. And yet, Lord, You reached down and You saved them for time and for eternity. And Lord, there are those in this meeting tonight that, Lord, You want to save them. You want to reach down and pluck them as brands from the burning. Oh God, do it tonight. And do it for Your glory and Your great name's sake. Just in a few moments, Reverend Salt's going to come and close the meeting. I wonder, is there someone here tonight and the Lord has spoken to you? Friend, we're all going to get a wee cup of tea afterwards and I hope you'll all stay, but listen to me. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, if you're here tonight and you're not sure you're saved, you'd like to speak to us, the Reverend Salt or myself or someone else, we're here as God's servants. We can't save you, but we can point you to the One who can. We can open up the Bible and explain to you in more detail how you can be saved and how you can know it. But don't turn away from the speaking voice of God tonight. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. And this night, trust the Lord Jesus as your Redeemer.
To thank Mr. Gray for that.